Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
The editorial. Great to have you folks with us today. Great to have the bloggers with us. I want to make a comment if we have any people from the radio audience. Could you please send us an email and know that you're listening? Jimmy, a couple of big events today. Let's start out with the two big bankruptcies out of China.
Okay, we'll just be quick on those. The Evergrande filed for bankruptcy, you know, just a week ago. That's one of the biggest developers in China and actually one of the biggest developers in the world. And then Sunac, which is another huge developer, they had filed for they had tried restructuring within and got more money last week from their donor or from their investors. And then, of course, this morning they filed for Chapter 15 bankruptcy in the Southern District of New York, protected from creditors. So those are two huge indicators of potential problems with Chinese development and some of their overreach right now.
Jim, do you feel that had anything to do with our country, anything to do with America?
Well, I don't think it has as much to do with America as it does the world, because people are beginning to question the investments there. And, of course, the subsidies that the Chinese government had poured into a lot of these industries, you know, in a kind of a centralized process for a, you know, there's a facade of free market capitalism, but it's actually a facade. It's still managed, controlled, it's still planned, and of course the way that they've subsidized it is by both debt and government, you know, investment and subsidies. So that development.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
So those problems, those are structural problems, and you're seeing less capital flow in. Now, interestingly enough, I watched this morning Joe Biden speak at the United Nations, and it was very interesting because China's having financial challenges right now. So we are too. The world is having financial challenges because of these incredibly dumb policies that are out there, the global climate change policies, net zero by 2030 policies that are shutting down some production in fossil fuels, but in other areas, they're going up. So he says that we need to de-conflict with China, not decouple. So China has a problem. They've had a financial advantage over us, and he's saying, hey, basically, hey, let's go ahead and prop them up, but he's damaging our own sovereignty and our own ability to produce, you know, become energy independent. He already crushed that when he took office, but he's damaging that more and putting us dependent on a global system that eventually China will dominate if it continues down the road. And of course, that takes away, again, a free market, or any even facade of free market capitalism, if in fact China is the director of what goes on in the world.
Well, that pretty much goes along with what you and I talked about last week, number one on the radio show, and number two in an editorial. Using the Financial Times as a source, we pretty much put a pin in the balloon of the Chinese economy. Chinese economy is pretty rough right now. Where do you think it's going to go, Jim, and how's that going to affect the world?
Well, it actually depends on U.S. is the biggest consumer and the biggest user of Chinese products, so it really depends on the U.S. response. And as the Biden administration policies, which are actually looking at a more globalized system, and in the U.N. speech, Biden was very clear to articulate the same types of policies that the Obama administration had put forward of, you know, globalization, we've got to work together, which actually relinquishes U.S. sovereignty. So if we relinquish sovereignty, that's going to give China an advantage. And here's another issue. You know, you've got this decrease in oil production right now by Saudi Arabia and Russia. Oil's up over $100 a barrel today. That means we're going to see more inflation. But what else it does, the Saudis are laughing because they can do whatever policies they can to detransition from a energy-only, fossil fuel energy-only, economy.
Yeah.
And the Russians, who are definitely oil, fossil fuel-based economy, the Biden administration's policy is throwing more money to Ukraine while simultaneously allowing Russia and Saudi Arabia to cut production, which increases oil prices, which causes them to reap more profits to pay for the war in Ukraine. It is a unbelievably incompetent global strategy from the Biden administration.
Well, it certainly seems to be, yeah. I mean, it really seems to be, Jim.
It is so contradictory. And then you've got to add in today. So this is insanity.
Yeah.
So they announced the $6 billion that they've released from sanctions to Iran. So basically they gave $6 billion back to Iran. Iran released 6 hostages. That's $1 billion a hostage. Now tell me that doesn't incentivize more hostage taking in the first place.
Well, of course it does.
But the second thing is, this is how embarrassing it is to be in the Biden administration. The day that they offer up the $6 billion and get the hostages back, the Iranians kick out a percentage of the UN weapons inspectors that have identified a high-yield uranium that the Iranians have pushed. So they're pushing the inspectors out the same day that we give them $6 billion. How dumb is that?
I don't know. There are a lot of people that are really taking advantage. A lot of people around the world, a lot of countries around the world are taking advantage of America's policy, which is totally incompetent.
It is absolutely incoherent, incompetent, and contradictory on every level.
Yeah.
If you remember back to Bowie Bergdahl, the soldier that had actually deserted from his post and then was held by the Taliban, and they traded 5 senior Taliban officials, the Obama administration did, in order to get Bergdahl out and tried to make it like, oh, this is a great deal. Those 5 senior Taliban officials were the ones that were actually at the table after the United States and the Biden administration had ran away and absolutely wasted 20 years worth of support to the Afghan government.
Yeah.
They were actually coordinating and orchestrating the demise of the senior officials, the demise of the Ghani government and the complete collapse and turnover to the Taliban of the people we kicked out 20 years ago. And it's just these contradictions in policy. And unfortunately, many people still don't even see it. And it just shows a level of incompetence in our society right now. People that just are being blinded by idiocy on the mainstream media and lack of comprehension of the negative impact to the future of the United States' ability to even survive.
Okay, now what's this going to do for, let's say, the Trump's chances in 2024? Do you think that's going to increase his chances, Jim?
I think a lot of people on the left, and it's becoming apparent, when you're seeing on Microsoft Network's newsfeed and CNN,
yeah.
You're seeing discussions about how old Biden is. When you're seeing him speech with, slurred speech in the UN speech today, when you have these contradictory policies, I think the Democrats are beginning to say, oh my gosh, we're going to have to move to another candidate.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, and I think you're right. I think they possibly are, although most of the Democrats who I talk with, Jim, where I am, really think the country is in the best shape that it's ever been in, specifically the economy.
Yeah, that's just not true. And with this energy, we've already got this inflation that's persisted now for 2.5 years. Remember, it was going to be transitory. This is actually eating into those same people's what's left of their retirement. Their future and whatever they want to give to their family is being destroyed right now by that inflation. With these oil prices and with this energy policy, you're going to see higher inflation. That's absolutely inevitable. And so the short term, you're not going to see probably CPI you're not going to see core inflation up. That'll take a couple of times, a couple of, you know, monthly notices, but eventually right around the time that we have a slowing economy for the Christmas holidays, you're going to see a higher inflation rate because of the policies that are put in place right now with $100 a barrel of oil and cutting back U.S. production. So inevitably, the people that believe that the fools that are living off of, you know, retirement accounts, whatever, they think it's fine. But most people that live on the margin, and unfortunately, most Americans live paycheck to paycheck. The majority of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Many of them, I think somewhere around 30 to 40%, could not deal with a $1,000 emergency. As you see inflation go up, it cuts that down to even a smaller amount. And we're going to see the reality of that hit very soon, potentially in, I mean, a lot of people have tried to discount the recessionary moves, you know, because it's almost inevitable at this point. And that's based on, you know, the realities. And we don't even know for sure what's happening because they manipulate the numbers so badly now you can't even trust them.
No, and that's more than a shame. I got to tell you on a personal note, Jim, I planned Kathy's and my retirement to the nickel because I knew I wouldn't have any major amount of funds coming in during my retirement from a pension plan, okay? And I have to tell you, I was okay, and I still am, I guess I would say, okay, but I truly understand today the impacts of the cost of living in the United States. I don't want to use the word inflation, and the reason I don't want to do that is because not necessarily our listeners, but the majority of the public is more concerned with absolute, easily identifiable increases in their expenses. I notice that every single time I go to the grocery store, every single time I go to the drugstore, every single time I pick up prescriptions at my healthcare provider, the numbers are getting pretty big, Jim.
No, it's actually quite crazy. And the other thing that is really interesting to me, and this is a little bit off topic, and I know we've got to finish up here in a minute, but so I flew into Seattle last night. I've got a board meeting today in Bellingham. I've gone, you know, for the last, I think I've complained on the show before about the rental car facility in Seattle and the crime and everything else. Well, I get in there last night. I waited over 2 hours in line for a prepaid preferred Avis rental car. Prepaid preferred. And I've still waited 2 hours in line. There is no service anymore. They just, it's absolutely embarrassing. But here's the worst part about it. So, you know, I lived in Berlin, Germany. I lived in the former Soviet Union in some of these countries. And what happened to people in those nations where they were beaten down to where they just sat there like lemmings in line to wait for whatever food that they could get or whatever things they could get. In East Germany, you waited, you ordered a car, a piece of junk car that it took you 7 years to get. 7 years. And people sat there like sheep in line and never said anything. 3.5 or 4 years ago, if you would have had people waiting in line at Avis in the preferred line, they would have been screaming, what the heck is going on here?
Exactly.
Last night, nobody was complaining. Everybody just sat there like sheep. They just sat there like sheep.
Yeah.
We have been beaten down, and I think it has a lot to do with the COVID. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, the social engineering that's ongoing, and it's reducing us to exactly like that, lemmings and sheep in a communist socialist system.
Well, I got to tell you, Jimmy, COVID is coming back with a vengeance. In Seattle, people can hardly wait to get the next COVID shot. And I'm telling you, Jimmy, I see that every single day.
Yes, because they are scared to death because the media has socially engineered them to be afraid of basically a coronavirus, which is a cold or flu virus. You know, it's a cold virus. And the vaccinations, so they've already had probably four. And what's the fifth one going to do for them other than, according to statistics, give them a higher probability of getting COVID.
You know, I got to tell you, Jimmy, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but that's what's going on right now.
No, I know it. It's crazy. And this is exactly, this is what they wanted. This is what the people that want a global system, they right. want people to be sheep. And it's not just Marxism. It's a combination of Marxism and globalists.
Right.
So crazy, crazy, unfortunately crazy world with inconsistent policies and a bunch of, you know, people that really aren't. They just don't know because they don't get the information. It's not that they're stupid. It's
yeah.
just that they don't get the information. It's control, and that's the sad part about it.
Well, Jim, yeah. I got to tell you, this is a really, really inconvenient part of my life to have all of these things going on. It's making everything a lot worse for me. And there is nothing I can do about it. Jim, I know you've got to get into a board meeting at Saturna Capital. Why don't you go ahead and get on your pony and ride, okay?
You bet, Al. You have a good day. And actually, just enjoy the day. Don't think about too much of this stuff. It's crazy.
I will, Jimmy. Thank you.
Yeah, talk to you later.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.